Broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Welcome. You're in the clubhouse. It's December 22nd. Have you done your Christmas shopping? I'm feeling a little panicky, but right now we're just going to have a lot of fun. We'll worry about that in another couple of hours or so. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got Mark Rolfing, NBC golf commentator, host of Global Golf Adventure, Mr. Hawaii Golf, Ron Syrak, executive editor, Golf World, and Steve Mona, the CEO of World Golf Foundation. They're all joining us the first half of the show. Coming up later, Nancy Cross, Anthony Catalino, Bob Bupka. But let's get right to it with Mark Rolfing, NBC commentator. Welcome to the show, into the clubhouse. Mark Rolfing, it's great to see you. See you last weekend.
Well, good morning, Danielle. And I wanted you to know that for Christmas, I bought you some more time. Sounds like that's what you need.
I do. Thank you. Thank you so much. We spent a weekend, last weekend, with Michelle Wee. Clinics, dinners, banquets. You know, the Michelle Wee that you meet when you watch the media conferences and you see her doing interviews and answering questions, boy, you can really tell, Mark, when she's in the media center that she's really on guard, because that's not the person we met this weekend. What a doll.
Well, it was a totally different Michelle Wee. You're absolutely right, Danielle. I thought some of your questions were brilliant, but it's interesting. You know, because you're media, I'm media, and she deals with us in different situations, and it's totally different. I thought last weekend she was as good as I've ever seen her in a situation like that, and I hope maybe that's a little bit of a precursor for what her year is going to be like. I'd like to see her let down her guard a little bit and just become the old Michelle Wee again.
Yeah, she did a clinic with about 25 people, taught us the short game, long game, course management, how to fix a everything, right? It was wonderful, and she was, I could tell she was nervous on the green, more so than on the tee.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think it was a good experience for her. I'm not sure she had ever done that type of a clinic before where you really walk, and what it was, as you remember, is it was totally situational, and we put her in every kind of situation that you could imagine, and I thought she reacted to him well, and I'm hoping that maybe she'll take that little experience and think about it in her whole course management approach next year and look at things a little bit differently perhaps than she did before. And I don't know, I'm looking for a big year from Michelle. I think, you know, this is the first year she really doesn't have to think about Stanford at all anymore, and she's got that behind her, and I think you're going to see her traveling a little more by herself, a little more out on her own than we've seen her in the past. And I just have a sense it's going to be a good year for Michelle.
Yeah, it was great. Great talking with her on everything from golf to non-golf things, and just a lot of fun. And I believe she helped raise over $40,000 for the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. And I hope she does it again next year, because what she did for the kids was amazing. They were so proud to know that Michelle Wee took the time to come to their Tournament of Champions and spend all that time with them. And there were tears in her eyes when she stood up and talked to them. It was a really wonderful moment. And you and I got to talk. We got to talk about the future of the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Of course, we're all a little concerned because this is the last year the Hyundai Tournament of Champions opens the PGA Tour season. We've always been a little concerned because it seems like fewer and fewer of the top five players are coming. What's your sense? How will this change the 2013-2014 season?
Well, Danielle, I really think, you know, not only is the Hyundai Tournament of Champions at a crossroads, but I think this entire time of year on the world golf schedule is at a crossroads, because just like anybody else, the top athletes in the world all need a break at some point. And golf is the only sport that does not have an off season. They were playing down in Australia last week. They're going to be playing out in Hawaii next week. There just is no off season. And consequently, when there is no scheduled off season for the players, they're going to create their own. And unfortunately, what we're starting to see is the players are creating an off season that kind of goes from early in December until the middle of January. And the Hyundai Tournament of Champions and the Sony Open fit right into that window. So the question is, you know, where do we go from here? And I think, you know, those questions aren't answered right now. And the decision was made to begin the PGA Tour season in October, keep the Hawaii events in the same dates, which are bad enough dates because they back up to the holidays anyway. And I think it's going to have a real impact next year when we're playing these tournaments at the same time and they don't begin the season.
It was interesting listening to the marketing director of Hyundai, Steve Shannon, on a conference call earlier this week. Steve Stricker was on with him. He seemed to think that because the Hyundai Tournament of Champions will come some six events into the season, that there will be points available and the guys will be hungry to start getting those points going.
I don't think that'll be the case at all. I think there will be some guys that are hungry to get points, but that's going to be Sean O'Hare and players like that. Is Tiger Woods going to be hungry to get FedEx points in January? No way. He doesn't even, at that point, begin thinking about the FedEx Cup, nor does Rory McIlroy or Luke Donald or Phil Mickelson or any of the top players. They are not at all thinking about points that early in the season.
Interesting. Okay, well, he does, Steve Shannon, he does like the location because it's between Korea, the Hyundai parent company, of course, their base, and the West Coast where most of their main U.S. people are. So this is the perfect location for a tournament. And they like the direction. We want to see more of the top players come. What's your solution? Do you have an idea?
Well, I think the first thing that has to occur is the date has to move at least a week. If you take a look at the Tournament of Champions, the Tuesday of tournament week now is New Year's Day.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy, and it's worse next year. I think Wednesday is New Year's Day next year. Players are just not going to do that. Everybody needs a break. Everybody wants to celebrate the holidays. And given our remote location, to play that early doesn't make any sense. There is going to be some attrition on the PGA Tour. They are going to lose a tournament or some tournaments, and there's no reason at all why they can't shift the schedule a little bit at the beginning and move it back a week. The Masters is going to stay in the same week. We know that. The U.S. Open is going to stay in their same week, but there can be some adjustments. So I think you have to start by moving the date back at least a week, which would move the Sony Open a week later. But more importantly, to me, the eligibility for the event has to expand. And I listened to Steve Shannon and heard everything that everybody had to say. And, yeah, it's a pretty good field for an average PGA Tour event. But it's not a pretty good field for a Tournament of Champions when you've got seven guys who have won tournaments right now that are not coming.
Yeah.
So I say expand the eligibility. Let the tournament winners in, yes, but let some other players in, too.
Who were the last year's champions?
Well, you know, there's a number of different ways you could look at it. I'm particularly in favor of letting in anybody who was in the Tour Championship last year. So the top 30, any of the top 30, would automatically get in. I think what we need is to figure out a way to promote golf between this break that there's going to be in November and December when you're not starting a new season in January. So anything that can create some excitement, I'm sort of championing, as you well know, an all-star game concept.
Okay, let's go. All-star game for golf.
All-star game for golf. Golf's the only major sport that doesn't have an all-star game, and the thing that the all-star game does it engages the fans, and the fans have a say in who plays. And I think if you took the month of December and had a whole fan initiative where they were able to determine some of the guys that got to play out here at the Tournament of Champions, it would just create more excitement around it. We need to make the Hawaii PGA Tour events a celebration because that's what Hawaii is about. That's why people come to Hawaii. And I think if we made it a celebration and included more players than just the tournament winners, you could start going in that direction.
So we could start a balloting process online, on Twitter, on Facebook, and just use all the social media to get that kind of excitement and building, then vote on your favorite player to come and play?
Yeah, you think about it, Danielle. The same company that airs Sunday Night Football on NBC, Comcast, airs both tournaments from Hawaii. So they've got an instant audience of over 20 million people on a Sunday night. They could, if they promoted the Hyundai Tournament Champions and Sony Open on a Sunday Night Football for a fan vote,
Yeah.
I think it would be huge. And I think they would do some of that kind of stuff if there was a reason to do it.
Okay, what if John Daly is voted in?
You know, so what? So what if he is? I don't have a problem with that at all. Now, I have a problem if he comes out here and doesn't behave himself like he did 20 years ago when he came out here. But at the same time, if that's what the fans want, and if we're all right now thinking, what are we going to do to grow the game, I say you got to listen to the fans. You can't sell the fans something they don't want. They're not going to buy it.
I couldn't agree with you more. You make excitement. You got to listen to what people want, and then you give it to them with, of course, the champions. The champions will be playing. John Daly's not going to take away from, I don't know if, do you think Tiger will come back one day?
I think Tiger will come back one day, and I particularly think, let's say all the fans voted Tiger. Let's say there was a reason that Tiger didn't get in because he didn't win a tournament. Maybe he was injured for most of the season, or something happened, and he just didn't win a tournament. If the fans voted Tiger and put him on the All-Star team and put him in the event, I think it would be difficult for Tiger to skip. I think any player would have trouble dissing their fans, and their sponsors wouldn't like it.
Yes, exactly. And, but will Phil Mickelson ever play the plantation?
Well, I don't know. Phil, you never know with Phil. He's like the mad scientist sometimes. But once one player skipped, and then pretty soon there was two guys skipping, once it became acceptable, then it's easy for guys to skip, and now you got seven. In the old days, the Tournament of Champions, Jack Nicklaus would never have considered skipping it, nor would Arnold Palmer or any of those players back in the 60s. You just didn't do it. It wasn't acceptable behavior. And once it became acceptable for a couple guys to skip, now there's more and more.
We got to talk more about this, but I have to ask you a final question. It comes from someone who enjoyed your Global Golf Adventure series, the one with Kauai, featuring the Kauai courses. And the question from Dan was, did you like the changes you saw to the Hawaii courses?
Yeah, I got to tell you, Danielle, I was absolutely shocked spending 5 days over there. I think Kauai's got as good a golf infrastructure now as any island, in our chain. I really love the changes at Princeville. The Makai course just is a totally different golf course. And the changes at the Prince courses, were extremely dramatic. I love the way they opened it up. The views up there are just phenomenal now. And the thing I like about it is you've got a great mix of courses. You've got even Pu'akea fits in there now because, that backside of Pu'akea is a great backside. And, it's easy to play. The greens are open in the front. The ground's hard. You can drive the ball a long way. I love that island for golf now. And they couldn't really say that they had a real great golf product before. They definitely can now.
Excellent. Mark Rolfing, NBC golf commentator, congratulations on your new contract.
Hey, thanks, Danielle. Take care and keep up the good work.
Absolutely. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation of a common sense, highly responsive, cutting edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Aloha, this is Brant Snedeker. Join me at the PGA Tour Winners Only event as we compete for the first trophy of the FedEx Cup season at the Hyundai Tournament of Champions.
You're invited to golf's opening drive January 3rd to 7th, where 2012 winners tee it up like Brant, Bubba, Ricky, Dustin, and Steve Stricker. Tickets start at just $15 online at retail locations including the Kapalua Golf Shops, the Honolulu Store, select ABC stores on Maui, and select Walmart locations, or by calling 808-665-9160.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back. It's a lovely 48 degrees at Volcano, where you can play a round of golf at 10:30 or 10:48. At Poipu, they've got the logo sale. Logo sale, 30% off, men's and women's. You could play a round of golf, too, at 9:40 or 11:50. That's Poipu Bay, gorgeous golf course, featured with Mark Rolfing. We've got Ron Syrak joining us. He is the executive editor of Golf World Magazine, author of the Vision 54 trilogy, Play Your Best Golf Now. Makes a great Christmas gift. If you haven't done so yet, order Amazon.com. It'll be in there immediately. A proud Franklin and Marshall graduate. Welcome to the show, Ron Syrak.
Hello, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Is it going to get 48 degrees, Cape Cod?
We're right around 40 right now, but there's some golf days ahead.
Really?
Last year, I played on December 30th and January 1st last year. Yeah.
I remember.
We're a hardy lot here.
It was, yeah, you are a hardy lot out there. It was a milder winter from what I remember, though, back then. Now, you love baseball. Yeah, football, collegiate basketball. I was talking with Mark Rolfing just a few minutes ago about his idea for an all-star game golf for the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, to have the champions come, of course, but then have fan balloting to, let's say, vote John Daly in to come, to give them more excitement. What do you think of that idea?
I think that's not a bad idea. I totally support the whole concept of sponsor exemptions, too. You know, I think that, we sort of get locked into this format of having these 72-hole stroke play tournaments every week that are pretty much the same. I think any way that you can do something to shake it up a little bit is a good idea. The idea of having fan balloting for one spot or two spots, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, it's like you said, as long as John Daly doesn't misbehave when he gets here, that's...
I'll tell you what I'd like to see.
There's that.
I'll tell you what I'd like to see them do, and I think TV would love this, is have mixed events where LPGA and the PGA Tour playing the same venue at the same time, not competing against each other. But, you know, so you got alternating threesomes out there, the women playing for the women's tees, the men playing for the men's tees, and just to provide, you know, something different.
Have
two events going on at the same time.
On the same course, like simultaneous. So three guys tee off and three girls tee off, but from different tees playing the same.
Yep. Alternating threesomes going up. Yep.
Wow. That's interesting. I hadn't heard that. So I like talking with you. You always come up with something different and unusual.
TV would also like to see some mixed team events. They would like to see men and women mixed team events out there too. Anything that's just a little bit different, a little bit out of the ordinary from what we see 42 weeks a year.
Yeah, good. Golf World is you guys put together your Newsmakers of the Year. Want to talk about that? But the Golf Writers Association of America, you guys voted in. Because I may be a member, but not a voting member. You're a voting member, right? You vote.
I am. Yep.
Okay. Rory McIlroy, Stacey Lewis, and Roger Chapman. Those were by a huge margin.
Rory got all but three votes, and it sort of makes you wonder who those three people were who didn't vote.
Well, yeah.
And Stacey won fairly easily. Well, all three of them won fairly easily. But Rory was a complete overwhelming landslide. And of course, Stacey is this year became the first American to win LPGA Player of the Year in 18 years since Steph Daniel in 1994.
Yeah, and a terrific year. Interesting that she did not win a major. She won four events, and she had the points. Is that how the LPGA determines their player of the year? It's based on points, right?
Right. LPGA is a point system.
Yeah.
PGA Tour player of the year is a vote.
A voting system.
Yeah.
So who was the person, do you think, who voted for Tiger Woods? The Golf Writers Association of America.
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know. He's got some friends out there.
Well, okay.
Yeah, the guy did. The guy won three tournaments.
Yeah, no.
You know, but you know, he did not distinguish himself very well in the major championships. And Rory won four tournaments, and he won bigger tournaments.
Okay, and the reason I ask, you know, who was the person who voted for Tiger Woods? Should there be more transparency? And let's jump right into the World Golf Hall of Fame on this one.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, yes, there should be more transparency on this. And I think, you know, I think the World Golf Hall of Fame is in this awkward position where they feel they want to have a contemporary player at the induction ceremony every year for marketing reasons. And that puts them into a bad spot, where if somebody doesn't get the required number of votes, the required percentage of votes, they then say whoever the leading vote getter was, as long as they got more than 50%, gets in. And, I have a problem with that.
Yeah, so it, normally if a person gets 65% of the vote, they get in.
But right. And they had dropped that. Originally it was 75%, and they dropped it to 65%, and then they came up with this other rule that, like, well, if 51% will get you in, if nobody gets 65%, that boggles my mind.
It boggles my mind. Now, from the European Tour, the international player that brought kind of controversy into the World Golf Hall of Fame question, Colin Montgomery. No major wins and never won on the PGA Tour, but I think it's 8 order of merits on the European Tour, right?
Eight order of merits, 7 of them in a row. I have no trouble with Colin Montgomery being in the Hall of Fame. And here's the other thing that I think that we need to look at. Since 1985, when Europe became competitive in the Ryder Cup, and the Ryder Cup became a truly huge event, your Ryder Cup record is much more important in Hall of Fame consideration now than it was before 1985. And part of the reason Colin Montgomery's in there is he's one of the great Ryder Cup players of all time.
Yeah.
And that adds to that resume of he chose not to play the PGA Tour. He chose to play in Europe. He won a zillion tournaments over there, as you said, won 8 order of merit, and was one of the great Ryder Cup players. That adds to his body of work enormously.
And now, what about, why do we have an international division? Is that necessary today in our global golf?
I think that you hit a nail right on the head there. I mean, if the name of the organization is the World Golf Hall of Fame, you don't need an international division. You know, it's like the world sort of takes care of that. It's a way of guaranteeing that all the constituencies are represented every year,
okay,
you know.
Yes.
But I think that's a flaw in the system.
Okay. Now, the Lifetime Achievement Awards, how is that determined?
That's a committee. I'm a voting member for the World Golf Hall of Fame, but I'm not part of the process that considers the Lifetime Achievement. People are nominated, and then a committee makes the decision.
So that's determined by committee, so guys get together and decide who would be the most worthy person to get that Lifetime Achievement Award. Do you think that should be put into the voting category?
Probably should. I know that our company, our chairman particularly, Jared Hardy, campaigned very, very hard to get Dan Jenkins into the Hall of Fame. He was one of only 3 golf writers who's in there. And in my mind, Dan Jenkins not only reinvented golf writing, he reinvented sports writing in the early days of Sports Illustrated and totally redefined the way sports stories are written. And he was a very, very worthy Hall of Famer. He also, of the 3 golf writers who are in the Hall of Fame, the other two, Bernard Darwin and Herbert Warren Wynne, went in posthumously.
Mm.
And we really thought it was important that we would like one of ours to get in there while he's, you know, still on the good side of the business. And so they worked hard to get Dan in, and Dan got in. And if you look at it, last year's induction ceremony, Phil Mickelson went in, But the two guys who stole the show that night were two 82-year-old guys, Peter Oosterhuis and Dan Jenkins.
Peter Ellis.
Yeah. Peter Ellis.
Yes, absolutely yeah. fabulous watching those two. You
yeah.
know, at that age, they can say what they want, and who cares?
Exactly.
So the story of the year from Golf World, Newsmakers of the Year, your issue. Real quick, on the anchoring decision, you know, Alex Maselli has a stop the campaign, he stopped the ban campaign, and with buttons. I mean, he's printed up buttons that you can put on your shirt. Is it possible to stop the ban of the anchored putter?
Well, any of the tours could choose to invoke a local rule and ignore it. The most likely one to do that would be the Champions Tour. The Champions Tour already lets their players ride in carts, you know, which is not part of a competition.
But only a local rule. So basically what the USGA says is a proposed ban is really a ban.
Oh, it's going to happen, yeah. I mean,
okay.
It doesn't happen until 2016, but it's going to happen.
But it's going to happen.
PGA of America is not happy with it. They think it's going to have a negative impact on growing the game. I think that's a lot of hooey because virtually less than 1% of recreational golfers use the long putter. Because to get good with the long putter, you've got to practice a lot. You know, it's not like just changing putters. You're changing techniques. And I think people who try the long putter realize that they don't have the time to put into it to get good with it. So in terms of recreational amateur golfers, virtually no one's using it.
Yeah, and I don't think it's going to stop the growth of the game either, for the exact reason you say. It's a very difficult one to command. And if you really want to play with an anchored putter with your group, you can. Nobody's, going to follow you. There's no USGA official following your group around who's going to stop you from recreational playing with an anchored putter.
Look, very few of us really play by the rules of golf. You know, we have mulligans, we have guineas.
Yes.
We are constantly playing a different game than what really real competitive golf is.
Thank you. So I watched the Google Hangout, the video that kind of like Skype, but with a multi-view conference, and it was all the Golf World writers and editors, and I think it was the big boss himself was in there too, wasn't Jaime Diaz there?
Jaime was in there, yep.
Yeah. That must be difficult, discussing something, going opposed to the boss. But
the difficult thing is that Jaime is the smartest one of all of us.
Oh, yes.
Anytime you disagree with him, he's probably right.
It's always good to say those things. Put that on record.
Send him a tape of this show.
Now,
I'll tweet a link to it.
All right. So I'm wondering, he did mention there was a bit of lively discussion when you guys got down to the last three of the top. And the top newsmaker was the crash or the collapse.
The year of the collapse. It was a theme all the way throughout the year. I was I covered the first one when Kyle Stanley made triple bogey on the last hole with Torrey Pines to lose that tournament. There was, of course, Jim Furyk in the U.S. Open on 16, hitting one of the worst tee shots I've ever seen anybody hit in a pressure situation. There was Jim Furyk several times during the year. There was Adam Scott bogeying the last four holes, the British Open, the lose by one stroke. Mm-hmm. And there was what happened to the U.S. In singles on Sunday in the Ryder Cup. It was a theme throughout the year. And, there was strong sentiment for Rory McIlroy. I would have thought to take a more positive approach to it. Maybe the European Ryder Cup team was the story of the year. I mean, I thought Sunday was the greatest comeback that I've ever seen because they did it on foreign soil and came from absolutely nowhere to win. But the argument and I think the argument is holds up. There was a theme throughout the year, and that theme was, it's really hard to close out a golf tournament. It's really difficult. You can put yourself in position, but closing it out is difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to congratulate you on the article you wrote about Ryder Cup captain Tom Watson before he was Ryder Cup captain Tom Watson. And your insight into that was marvelous, as always, in your writing. And
I felt strongly when I saw Watson's quotes from Australia saying it'd be really cool if he was Ryder Cup captain, I started to think, What the heck's he saying that for? And why is it coming up in Australia, which isn't even in the Ryder Cup? So I started to think, I think Tom's giving us a hint here.
Yeah.
So I wrote it on Monday, and they announced it on Thursday.
Yeah, that was magnificent. And just in closing, I congratulations. Do you mind? I mean, I'm a grandmother, and is it okay?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I'm really, really, really thrilled for you and your daughter, Rachel. You're going to be a grandpa. I got to tell you, this is like it's the universe's way of giving you a second chance, because for all those times that you were working and working and working and you thought, God, you know, I really am not spending enough quality time with Rachel, this is just going to completely, all of a sudden you get a do-over. You can't go, this is it.
When we were doing the father-daughter dance at her wedding, I sort of whispered in her ear, I said, you know, of course, I'm going to be a real pain in the butt as a grandfather. And she said, oh, absolutely. She knows that.
Well, I probably won't be able to talk with you again until the new year. I wish you a wonderful holiday season, the new year season, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Daniel.
Absolutely. We'll be back right after this. Steve Mona, CEO of the World Golf Foundation, will be joining us. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the green with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Magnificent by nature, Princeville's Prince Course on Kauai's spectacular North Shore. Renovated greens, bunkers, clubhouse, and more. They're now offering Kama'aina the chance for unlimited play for only $99 for the entire weekend. Golfers, is there a better way to spend Saturday and Sunday? Unlimited play on Kauai's Prince Course with your local ID. It's Kama'aina weekends. That's right. Play 18, 36, or more both Saturday and Sunday for only $99. Call 826-5001 for tee times.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Aloha, this is Bubba Watson, and there's no better place to kick off the season than Kapalua at the PGA Tour's Hyundai Tournament of Champions.
You're invited to golf's opening drive, January 3rd to 7th, where 2012 winners tee it up like Bubba, Keegan, Ricky, Dustin, and Steve Stricker. Tickets start at just $15 online at retail locations, including the Kapalua Golf Shops, the Honolulu Store, select ABC stores on Maui, and select Walmart locations, or by calling 808-665-9160.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
You know, we're doing this fabulous contest, and somebody is going to win a trip for two to San Francisco, and they're going to stay. This is on Hawaiian Airlines, okay? When you hear the Hawaiian Airlines jet take off, I want you to be the ninth caller, okay? All right. Now, if you want to play a round of golf, you could play a round in the mountains, inside the beautiful Mauna Wili Valley. Royal Hawaiian Country Club has a 10:30 and an 11:24. Or if you'd like to play along the ocean on Oahu, there's Olomana, 10 o'clock, 10:30, or 11:08. Beautiful, in Waimanalo. Steve Mona is the CEO of the World Golf Foundation. What's that? Okay, the board of directors, Mike Davis, USGA, Peter Dawson, RNA, Tim Fincham, PGA Tour, Mike Wan, LPGA Tour, George O'Grady, European Tour, Joe Soranka, PGA of America. I think that's going to change now that Joe's... And then Jim Armstrong, the Masters. Got the picture? Steve Mona, welcome to the Golf Club.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Danielle, it's good to be with you.
Absolutely fabulous to have you on the show. World Golf Foundation does First Tee, positively impacting the lives of young people. Golf 2020, pursuing initiatives to positively grow the game. The World Golf Hall of Fame, celebrating golf's greatest. and you initiate research, communicate golf industry goals with the public, a unified approach to anti-doping policies on the professional tours. You have a lot of responsibilities, sir.
Well, we do, and the whole premise behind the World Golf Foundation when it was founded in 1995 was to bring the golf industry together to collaborate on initiatives that no one entity in golf could take on by itself. And that's been our mission since, and we've had, as you've mentioned, three very successful initiatives as a result of that philosophy, namely the First Tee program, the World Golf Hall of Fame, and then Golf 2020, which really functions as golf's trade organization.
What do you mean by that? I'm sorry, the golf's trade organization?
So if you think about any industry or any profession, they have some sort of a trade organization that represents the interest of that profession or that industry, whether it's automobiles, aeronautics, whatever the case might be. Golf has not had that traditionally, and Golf 2020 functions in that capacity. So whether it's working on public relations and media relations initiatives on behalf of the industry, whether it's conducting research on behalf of the industry, whether it's conducting advocacy in terms of golf's profile in Washington, D.C., all of those are things that Golf 2020 does on behalf of the golf industry.
Got it. So if there's something like club change or ball change, would the World Golf Foundation get in there, do some research, and take a position?
Not generally. That's the purview of the governing bodies, which,
okay,
as you pointed out, they are represented on our board.
Right.
So that would be something that the USGA and RNA would tackle. But we would be involved in terms of the communication of it and helping to foster the further understanding of whatever that particular change was.
What is fabulous is what golf has done for charities across the country and probably around the world. And I don't know, I wanted to focus today talking with you about the golf industry's charitable impact. Is this a correct number from 2011? $3.9 billion?
Yes, ma'am, it is. And it's really astonishing if you think about golf and what it contributes to charity when you look at the whole sport in total. When you think that about 12,000 golf facilities across the United States host, on average, about 12 different events per facility per year, and that equates out to about 143,000 events per year. And then when you also think that about 12 million people participate in these charitable events and that they generate about 26,000, a little bit north of that, per event for charity. So it's a pretty astonishing figure, but when you think about it in the context of what each individual facility does, or 75% of them do, then the number becomes more real to most people.
So you're calculating not just what the PGA Tour, LPGA Tour, the Champions Tour, the Web.com Tour, all of those tours generate, but also, let's say, the Lanakila Health Center in Hawaii decides to do a charitable fundraiser. Is that included in this calculation?
Yes, it is. In fact, the majority of that $3.9 billion figure comes from those events that take place at our nation's almost 16,000 facilities. The PGA Tour, as you mentioned, LPGA Tour, Web.com, and Champions Tour collectively will generate in the vicinity of about $150 million per year for charity, which is a substantial number in its own right.
But
certainly it's just a piece of that $3.9 billion. As you can see, the vast majority comes from the events that take place at golf clubs all over the country.
Oh, I'm getting goosebumps. That's amazing.
It's remarkable.
It is. And it's a lot of work. Whenever a little organization decides to put on a golf tournament to raise money, I always warn them, be sure to get somebody who knows what they're doing, because there's a lot of work to do.
that there is. No question about it.
No question. Have you done any comparative studies to see, for instance, does golf raise more than the NFL, the NBA, or the NHL if they're playing?
If you take those three professional leagues and add Major League Baseball to it, golf generates more in charitable giving per annum than all four of those do combined.
Wow. That's amazing.
It is. It's just incredible. And see, we as the golf industry have not done a very good job, and I appreciate you having me on this morning, Danielle, to speak to it, but we have to do a better job of helping both golfers themselves and then non-golfers understand the impact that golf has on charity and charitable organizations throughout this country.
Oh, wow. Well, Nancy Cross from the Hyundai Tournament of Champions is going to follow you to talk about just that, some of the things that are being done on Maui, and then, of course, on Oahu, the Friends of Hawaii Charities. That's a huge organization here behind the Sony Open. They've been getting matching funds from the Harry and Jeanette Weinberg Foundation. Whatever's raised is then matched by the foundation. So a lot of money is generated, and we try to talk about it here on the show and in Hawaii to let people know just how important the tour events are to us. But obviously not enough is spoken to just how important it is. All the people who are raising money in small golf tournaments, you are making a huge difference in people's lives. $3.9 billion in 2011, most of that generated by these small organizations. Steve Mona, I hope you'll be back on the show to talk more.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, Danielle. Let me make two other quick points
Absolutely.
That I think are
Take
important to this whole discussion for people to understand. First of all, almost all of those dollars that are generated from those events stay in the local community.
Right.
Very little of it funnels out back to the national group, if you will.
That's
so I think that's
important.
An important point.
Yes, it is.
And then the second point I think is quite important, and it again speaks to the benevolence of golf as an industry and golfers as individuals, is almost all the money that's raised through golf goes to causes outside of golf. And just think about that for a minute. So it supports the local Humane Society or the local Cancer Society or whatever. It's all very worthy charities, by the way. But golf raises very, very little money for itself. And so that to me is an important point to keep in mind as well.
Yeah. I right now my mind goes blank, but I think about all the events, you know, the people who raise money for the Blood Bank of Hawaii. You know, it goes from that to, as you said, the Humane Society to everyone who has ever used a golf tournament to raise money, they know that it goes straight into their organization. And that is really key, something that we're very aware of in Hawaii, since so many corporations own Hawaii and the money goes to the mainland, to China, to Japan, you know. But we know that all this money that is raised through a golf tournament stays right here.
That's right. It's great.
Well, again, Steve Mona, CEO, World Golf Foundation. I'm going to have to talk more about and really play up all of the charity events that are happening. And thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure, Danielle. Thanks very much for having me.
Okay. And we'll be back right after this. Nancy Cross, she'll be talking with us about just what the Hyundai Tournament of Champions and how it's impacting lives on Maui and how the money is staying right here in Hawaii. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Hoipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Hoipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom-and-pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across Hawaii. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
The big
big hitters of the PGA Tour hit Wailea for the Sony Open, January 7th through 13th. Come kick off the 2013 Tour with Zach Johnson, Webb Simpson, Bubba Watson, Jim Furyk, and Matt Kuchar. Big names, big stakes, big action. Buy tickets at friendsofhawaii.org or at any First Hawaiian Bank on Oahu. Free parking at Hanukai and Kahala Community Parks. Visit friendsofhawaii.org. friendsofhawaii.org.
You scope out the sand traps. You size up the green. You're eyeing the flag. Now, it's time to choose a club, but you don't know which one to choose?
That's when you turn to Danielle Tucker. Now, back to the golf club.
Okay, so, like, I got so nervous about, you know, the fact that I haven't finished all of my gift-giving shopping. And I only have three more days to get it done. Actually, I think I have until Sunday to get it done. And I forgot completely to thank the people who make this show possible. I mean, what was I thinking? Thank you to Poipu Bay Golf Course and Star Protection and Princeville's Prince Course. But I have someone who's going to say it much better than I can.
The Golf Club, sponsored by Poipu Bay Golf Course. 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Hawaii's South Shore gem. Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. And by Princeville's Prince Course, magnificent by nature. Completely renovated greens, bunkers, and clubhouse. The Prince Course is offering Kama'aina Unlimited Saturday and Sunday play for just $99. Call 826-5001. Princeville's Prince Course.
And I want to thank the Sony Open in Hawaii. Of course, you're going to go out and buy your tickets because every one of your tickets is going to benefit a Hawaii charity. The Sony Open in Hawaii is Hawaii's it is the first full-field event. It's at the Wailea Country Club, first full-field event of the PGA Tour. So get your tickets at First Hawaiian Bank, or you could volunteer, but probably at this point you should just go get your tickets at First Hawaiian Bank. Make them stocking stuffers. Doesn't that sound like a good idea? Okay, and you've got to make your plans if you haven't already, because it's tournament week, December 28th. It starts. Make your plans for the 2013 season opening Hyundai Tournament of Champions. It's a great time to visit Maui, watch the top golfers in the world compete at Kapalua, the plantation course, and the whales are breaching. It's whale season. You get to do everything on Maui and enjoy fabulous golf. You're going to see Bubba Watson. Keegan Bradley's coming back. He did not have a good time the last time. He was having a difficult time getting accustomed to the plantation course. And James Poulter, Ian James Poulter, is coming. Zach Johnson, Jason Duffner, Hunter Mahan, Brant Snedeker. Wow, the FedEx Cup champion. He's all of this. Kicks off January 3rd to the 7th. That's the competition. Nancy Cross, the tournament chairwoman, is with us right now. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Danielle.
It's exciting.
It is exciting. You're right. The pros have so many wonderful things to do here on Maui besides golf. But we're excited for them to be coming, and they start landing right around December 27th to have some fun before the tournament starts.
And this is great. And you've got the Aloha Kickoff featuring.
Yeah, we're really excited about that, Danielle. That is going to be about 40 minutes prior to the first tee time on Friday, January 4th. Clifford Na'aole, the Ritz-Carlton Cultural Advisor, and the cast members of Ulalena will do our Hawaiian blessing. And then we're going to have performances by Grammy Award winner George Kahumoku, great black key guitarist, and by beautiful Hawaiian vocalist Amy Gilliam, will be singing the national anthem. Mm. So we're also saying, anyone in the first bleachers, on Friday and Sunday, we'll maybe a lucky winner of an autographed pin flag. So come on out early and sit on the number one bleachers and see if it's your lucky day.
It could be your lucky day. Never, don't ever question that. Like Richard, of Nu'uanu, he's a qualifier. He could win a trip for two on Hawaiian Airlines to the West Coast, San Francisco. Four nights in the Palace Hotel San Francisco, a luxury collection hotel. So you are our first qualifier during this show, Richard. Congratulations. So get out to Maui and sit in those bleachers. You could be winning. Tell us again what they're going to win.
An autographed pin flag.
That's nice. That's right. Something. Yeah, that's something you want to frame.
And also, you know, Danielle, Thursday's Pro-Am is free admission to everyone. Gates will open at 7:30. So that's a fabulous time to come out. Bring the whole family. You can take photos on that day. And just a great family event, you know, and price. Can't beat the price.
No, you can't beat the price.
Uh-huh. Tickets can be purchased at pgatour.com/Hyundai or on island at the Honolulu store, Kapalua Golf Shop, Walmart, and select ABC stores.
Excellent. And, again, great stocking stuffers. And all the money, those tickets, that's not to raise money for the guys to win those multi-million-dollar prizes, okay? That you're not helping a millionaire become more of a millionaire. What you're doing when you buy a ticket to go to see a PGA Tour event is you're helping a charity on Maui continue to do what it does. And we were just talking, before we talked with you, Nancy, Steve Mona from the World Golf Foundation was on to talk about the $3.9 billion that was raised in 2011 through charity events, most of them tournaments, just that someone put on to raise money for the Humane Society, or Lana Kila, wherever, you know. But much of it does also come from PGA Tour events, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. And you have the Hyundai Hope on Wheels?
That is a 5K run that is going to be on Saturday, January 5th, and that is taking place at Whalers Village. So just a good thing, get up. Go for a good 5K run or walk, and then come on out to the tournament.
Exactly, so, exactly. Mm-hmm. And this is the Hyundai Hope on Wheels expanding its presence with the net proceeds benefiting a partnership between the Maui Memorial Hospital, Kapi'olani Medical Center for Women and Children, and the Hawaii Cord Blood Bank. So this is a $75,000 Hyundai Scholar Grant to Kapi'olani Medical Center will also be awarded on top of the monies that are raised for this 5K event. You are also with the tickets that are sold. What does the money, who does the money go to?
You mean for our event?
Yeah.
Well, since 1999, we've raised over $4 million with all of that money staying in Hawaii. And it goes to our designated beneficiaries, which are Lahaina Luna High School, Kalima O Maui, Boy Scouts, J. Walter Cameron Center, Hale Makua, and... Okay, I always forget the last one.
It's okay. I have the same problem.
But a great group of partners with us.
Yes.
And it's also benefited throughout the years, you know, different community organizations as well. We also have a great program called Golf for Maui Charities, which any 501c3 can participate in and sell tickets and keep 100% of the net proceeds. So we have different partners participating in that, including Sacred Heart, Maria Lana Kila Church, several different organizations. So the event, you know, is really important to Maui and to the state of Hawaii. You know, obviously.
Oh, dear, we've lost. We just lost you for a second. Your phone cut out.
Okay.
It's important to Hawaii Charities.
Well, yes. I mean, it's important to, you know, to Hawaii, both, you know, for the charities and for the economic impact that an event like this, you know, has to the state. But, you know, Daniel, we're really excited. I know you mentioned some of the great players. We've also got Ricky Fowler playing in our event for the first time this year. You know, and the other great players, of course, our defending champion, Steve Stricker, Dustin Johnson, it's going to be real exciting.
It is. It's hard. You know, I hear the commitments coming in every couple of days. So the most recent were Bubba Watson and Keegan Bradley and Ian Poulter and Jason Duffner and Zach Johnson, Hunter Mahan, Brent Snedeker, and you mentioned Ricky Fowler, and of course the defending champion Steve Stricker, who loves coming here. I think he's coming with his family again. Dustin Johnson. We just got to make sure these guys don't do anything that's like, you know, too out there. Too.
Well, you know what? I did hear that I think Jonas Blix wanted to go spear fishing, so we're trying to set that up. And the Kuchers are going to be on a helicopter ride. You know, there's we've got a lot scheduled on a whale watch. So there's so many. I mean,
yeah.
They all love coming here.
Yes, they do. And we just have to make sure that, you know, Jonas Blix is surrounded by his management team.
So
nothing goes wrong with Jonas, but, you know, they can take the hit.
And, well, they're pretty athletic guys, so.
Oh, yes, they are. No, I'm just thinking about stubbed toes on coral and knees, you know, what have
yep.
you. You just never know when you're doing something. It always seems to happen to a golfer, unless it's a repetitive swing issue. It's usually something like snowboarding, you know.
Right.
And you are, who knows, you know, pulling a jet ski out of the water.
Using different muscles.
Yes, using different muscles. We got to make sure they, because we want them all playing. It's the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, and it's great, because as the CEO of the World Golf Foundation said, it's tremendous what golf does for not golf. It doesn't raise money for golf. It raises money for everything outside of golf. And you just described a whole bunch of charities, all the money staying in Hawaii for Hawaii charities. And, of course, the benefit for our economy is tremendous as well. Nancy Cross, the tournament director of the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, thanks so much for being on the show. And we'll talk again next weekend. Next weekend.
Yes, it'll be right upon us. If anyone has any questions, give us a call, 808-665-9160. Again, January 3rd, the Pro-Am is free, and then we have a Monday finish, so our dates are January 3rd through the 7th. Please come out and support the event and support Maui.
Excellent. I'll mention that number when we take this commercial break and come out, in case you didn't get a chance to write it down. Just 808-665-9160, and I'll have that again. Nancy Cross, thanks for being on the show.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Okay. Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Magnificent by nature, Princeville's Prince Course on Kauai's spectacular North Shore. Renovated greens, bunkers, clubhouse, and more. They're now offering Kama'aina the chance for unlimited play for only $99 for the entire weekend. Golfers, is there a better way to spend Saturday and Sunday? Unlimited play on Kauai's Prince Course with your local ID. It's Kama'aina weekend. That's right. Play 18, 36, or more both Saturday and Sunday for only $99. Call 826-5001 for tee times.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're an office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window systems to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Aloha, this is Zach Johnson. There's no better place to kick off the PGA Tour season than at the Hyundai Tournament of Champions.
You're invited to golf's opening drive January 3rd to 7th, where 2012 winners tee it up like Zach, Bubba, Ricky, Dustin, and Steve Stricker. Tickets start at just $15 online at retail locations, including the Kapalua Golf Shops, the Honolulu Store, select ABC stores on Maui, and select Walmart locations, or by calling 808-665-9160.
Oh, man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh, man, can't be too happy about that one.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And we WJR, KPUA, Hilo, KGU, Honolulu, KONI, Lanai City, KTOH, FM1, Princeville, KTOH, Kalaheo. Now, that number again, if you want to ask Nancy Cross, Executive Director, Tournament Director, she wears so many hats. She's such a busy woman. If you'd like to get in touch with her, if you've got questions, number is 808-665-9160. The Hyundai Tournament of Champions starts, boy, before New Year's. I'll be there. I'm going to do the show from there. I'm really excited. I love going to Maui. Just got back from Maui. It seems like always we got to go to Maui, and then we're going to go to the Wailea Country Club, and we'll be at the Sony Open in Hawaii, and looking forward to that full field event. Got to talk to the folks from the Sony about that soon. We're going to talk to a young man. He's about 32, a dad. His name is Anthony Castellino, and he was on Big Break Greenbrier. Welcome to the show, Anthony.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Now, I watched an interview with you when you finished. Tell us, what was it like playing in, how did you get into Big Break, and what was it like playing in Big Break Greenbrier?
So anytime there's a Big Break season, they always have, a website. And on the website, they always have an application process that you can apply. And this was the third time that I've applied, and the past two times that I applied, I was the finalist to get onto the show. And then I received an email saying that I wasn't going to be picked to be on the show. And then this year,
yes,
I knew that if I received an email again saying that I was going to be a finalist, I was going to be real excited. But then I knew after that, if I got another email from Golf Channel, I wasn't even going to look at it. I was just going to delete it. But then I don't know anyone in Orlando anymore, where they're based out of. So I got a phone call from a 407 number, and I just started going crazy because I was like, why would they be calling me? I don't know anybody from Orlando. And I just started going nuts. I was actually at a golf tournament, and everybody I was with was like, what's going on? What's going on? I'm like, my mom just won some money or something. So, because I couldn't tell them that they just asked me to be on Big Break Greenbrier. So
you have to keep that
awesome.
A secret?
Oh, I had to keep it a secret from everybody. It was terrible. I mean, I told my wife. I'm sure they won't be happy to hear that. But, I had to tell her. So.
Well, wait a second. You mean you're picked to be
yep.
on, and then you're not supposed to tell your wife? What, were you supposed to disappear? Wait a second. Are you supposed to disappear?
Technically, I'm not supposed to tell anybody because I had to come up with, a fake story for my job at work. My head pro and the general manager had to tell people that I had family issues in California. And they kept getting questions. Everybody's like, I don't know really what happened. It was just a family issue. That's all I know. Stop asking me questions.
And how long were you gone with this family issue in California?
We were gone for 2.5 weeks. So it was kind of awkward also because I missed two member guests at my club. Oh. And it was, you never do that as a golf pro. So it was kind of odd that they allowed me to miss two member guests for that. So.
That was one serious family issue.
Exactly.
Now, did you have to tell your wife that you had a family issue in California?
No. I told her where I was going because
no.
she had to know because she was pregnant. So
oh.
she had to know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, did the Big Break people expect you not to even tell your wife where you were going?
I guess they knew people would tell their significant others.
Oh, good.
They just didn't want you to. They knew you were going to, but they didn't want you to. So.
It's kind of like in golf, there's these rules they don't want you to break, but they're not going to penalize you if you do.
Exactly.
At least not if you're in a recreational foursome and you're having fun,
yeah.
right? Okay,
yeah.
So that's what's important. So you go out to California for 2.5 weeks, are you mic'd the whole time?
Well, the show wasn't, I told people I was in California. I was actually in West Virginia, but I'm mic'd pretty much the whole time except for when we're eating dinner. Pretty much every time of the day, we woke up at 5 in the morning, we went directly to the audio guys, got mic'd up, and then we got dressed pretty much and went upstairs and ate some breakfast, and that's where you saw on the show every morning we were eating breakfast. And pretty much from that point on, the rest of the day, we didn't take the microphones off.
Wow. And how much of the time are you playing golf?
For the first show, the glass breaking challenge, I literally hit one shot that day. So you wait around, you pick numbers to see what order you go because there's 12 guys. So you pick randomly what order you go. So I actually picked 12. And so I'm last. So we go in order from 1 to 12, obviously. And I'm sitting around for 4 hours, not doing anything, sitting around in the beating hot sun. It was like 90 degrees out. I'm sitting in the sun, and we're all just waiting around until we're called to go. Because they have you like 200 yards away from the place where they're doing the glass break so that you can't hear and you can't see.
So you can, oh, and which is important because actually if you could see, you could start visualizing and you could
what you want to do and the time so you knew how fast you were going to go. So if you missed the first couple times and you saw how fast it was, it wouldn't even matter at that point.
Yeah, yeah. So, we're talking with Anthony Castellino, contestant, Green Break, Big Break, Greenbrier. You know, I love that resort. It's absolutely stunning. Is it as beautiful as I think it is?
You know what? It is really beautiful. It's really nice. And unfortunately, I was very ignorant in that aspect. I didn't know any of the history about it with Sam Snead, anything like that. And I was a little embarrassed when I went there, not knowing any of the history. But it's just a beautiful place. The resort is awesome. The hotel is magnificent. It's like it looks like you're staying at the White House when you're there. And it's just a beautiful place.
Yeah, it's just magnificent. In addition to, of course, Sam Snead, that was his home course. It was there. Did you know about the bunkers?
Yeah, we went. We actually went to go see the bunker. That was one of our excursions. We went to go see it, and it was huge. It was crazy how they built that thing to survive a nuclear war.
Tell us a little bit about the bunker history. Tell us a little bit, because that's something that most people have no idea. Here's this gorgeous hotel.
Yeah.
Right.
So they built this bunker into the hotel, thinking that, you know, back in the day, that if there was a nuclear war, that they could have the Senate and all the high-powered people come there, and they could survive it in the hills of West Virginia. And then when the war was over, that they could come out. They could last, I think, like, I'm not sure if I'm exactly wrong, but I think it was a couple of years.
Wow.
That they could last in there with, like, I think like 10,000 people. They could last like that long.
There were bunkers underneath the Greenbrier for 10,000 people?
It was enormous. Enormous. It was crazy. It was crazy that they, you know, they had a hospital in there. They had like a conference room that looked like where the president would speak when he has the when he addresses the people. It's just amazing how they had all this stuff in there.
And now they do tours.
Yeah, they do tours, and the door actually to open it was literally, I think she said it was like 5 tons.
Oh.
The door, and you could literally move it with your one hand. That's how easy it was to open.
Because of the hinging work they did.
Yeah.
Oh wow, that is just. The engineering behind it is fascinating.
You wouldn't even know it's there. If the door's closed, you just think it's like a big safe or something. Like a tunnel to walk in.
That's magnificent. See, we've got to all go. All of us, we all got to go to the Greenbrier.
Yeah, we should. Everyone should go there and see all the guys there. They're great people there.
Yeah. Now, you're from Yonkers.
Correct.
Your home course is the Willow Ridge Country Club.
Yep, that's where I'm a PGA apprentice.
Okay, and what is your goal now? You know, I caught the interview with you, and I don't think they should ever interview anyone after they've lost something as important.
It was difficult, but, you know, I guess as you see, you go through the show and all the people and all the viewers who watch, they realize that I wasn't very confident in my game, but like I said, if anyone watched the reunion, just because I wasn't confident, you know, confident in myself and didn't think that I could win, didn't mean I didn't want to win.
Oh.
So that's what the whole emotions were about, because who knows if I'm ever going to be able to play in a PGA Tour event or play, you know, on the PGA Tour or actually make a lot of money playing this game. So this was my one chance, and it was just, you know, it's hard to embrace the fact that that dream kind of went up in smoke, you know.
I don't want you to think like that. I don't want you to think like that. Anthony Castellino, you have to put in your mind that this was not your only chance. This is not the end. That's like the high school days, you know, playing football, and then you sit around and you talk about how great you were. You have to keep this in the forefront of your mind. We've got to get Dane Gingrich or somebody in here to do mental coaching with you.
Well, that's what one of my best friends and my caddy always tells me. I need to go to a sports psychologist because he thinks if I go to one of them, I'll just take off and just go crazy.
You should listen to your caddy.
I know,
dude.
I know. Well, it was such a good experience because it really gave me a lot of confidence. Even though I wasn't confident on the show, it gave me a lot of confidence to trust my game and know that when I do need to hit a shot, because in a lot of those episodes, as you see, I'm up against the wall and I do come up with shots when I need to. And that really gave me a lot of confidence going back into tournaments that I played that summer after Big Break, that you know, I have another shot after it. I can make it up, and if, even if I make two bogeys in a row, I can make a bunch of birdies, and it really gave me a lot of confidence to go ahead with my PGA books. And once I'm a PGA member, I can play in the National Club Pro and possibly play in the PGA Championship, which is phenomenal. Which
yes,
is,
and you never
great.
Know. I mean, on the East Coast, you've got so many opportunities for Monday qualifying,
exactly.
challenging yourself like that. That's really important. And, you know, it's when you said it reconfirms that I should be teaching and not playing, I'm like, no, don't say that about it. Believe in yourself more. You've got to believe in yourself. Otherwise, that's what you want to instill. How old's your baby?
He's 1 week mm-hmm. and 4 days, I believe. So and actually about 3 hours ago, he was that old. He was born at 10:42 a.m. on Wednesday last week.
Far out. Mom, how's she doing?
She's doing good. She's laying on the couch with him on his chest, her chest right now.
Right now? Okay, well, tell her, you know, as I mentioned in my email, make sure that when the baby sleeps, mom sleeps, okay?
I know. We've been doing that. We've been lucky. He's been sleeping 3 or 4 hour spurts at night, so we've been able to sleep a little bit.
Oh, okay, because it's important. A lot of women think, okay, the baby's sleeping, I got to go clean up the house, you know,
exactly.
and then she's exhausted.
That's what she does, but I yell at her.
Yeah, so. Good. You keep yelling at her. I'm going to keep yelling at you because you want your son to do great things, and the only way we can accomplish great things in life is if we believe that we can. If you believe that you can, and you keep putting that dream out there, it's not just a dream, it's a visualizing success. That's what we need Anthony Castellino to do so that you can instill that in your son so he can become president of the United States. How's that?
I already told Mark Silvers, the winner of Big Break Green Briar, that I'm training him already to gun Mark Silvers down. He's coming for him.
But this was one of the most competitive of all of the big breaks, wasn't it? You were up against a huge field.
Well, some of the resumes that these guys had coming into the show, I didn't know it until I got there because I didn't know who they were. But after the first couple of days knowing them, you can kind of look them up and find out who they are, and you kind of realize that this is probably the best cast that Big Break has ever had as far as guys throughout their 18 seasons. That, you know, 18, you know, I guess you would call them seasons that they've had. And it's just it's pretty amazing that I was picked to be on the show and that, I made it to the 7th episode. So I have a lot to take away from it. But during the season, I was not as confident as I should have been, but it was great competition. Some of those guys are just great players.
And, okay, as you walk away from it, looking at it in hindsight, a little bit of perspective, what did you learn, and what are you going to do next?
I learned to trust my game a little bit, know that I can. I am a good player. I am a very good golfer. I know how to play this game, and whether it looks good or it doesn't look good, when people look at it, I know how to get the ball in the hole, and that's the main thing. And I really need to look into when I'm playing golf. I really need to look at the whole picture as opposed to just what I think I can do. As I said in one of my blogs on the golfchannel.com there, I kind of just went ahead and thought, hit a shot. And that when the week I got eliminated, I didn't look very far into the challenge and should have just thought about it a little more instead of just hitting a shot. But I know I'm a lot more confident now going into my next season at
Good.
Willow Ridge.
Good.
So, that's where I'm going to go with that.
Good, good. All right, and we're going to work on that believing in yourself, okay?
Absolutely.
I'm going to bug you on Twitter about this, you know.
I love it. That would be great, and then maybe it'll work, and I'll win the National Club Pro and play in the PGA Championship. You can come out and interview me there.
There you go. Anthony Castellino, thanks for being on the Golf Club. It's
Thank you very much,
pleasure
for having
talking
me. I appreciate
to
it.
You. Absolutely. We'll be back right after this. Bob Bupka, the Grill Room co-host, voice of golf. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof,
He just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom-and-pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal. That's Alakai Mechanical.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor link. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
You heard it. Over the next 4 months, we're going to give away two trips for two. Hawaiian Airlines will fly you, and you'll stay four nights in the Palace Hotel San Francisco, a luxury collection hotel. Twice during the show, second time now, we're going for our 16th qualifier. That jet could be going to San Jose, Los Angeles, San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. We're talking now with the voice of golf, the co-host of The Grill Room, from 10 till noon on Saturday and Sunday on PGA Tour Radio, Sirius XM. You can listen to Bob Bupka, Alex Maselli, discussing everything hot in golf. It's Channel 93, Sirius 208. Let's welcome to the show Bob Bupka. Welcome, my good buddy.
Well, Danielle, that's quite a radio segue from giving baby lessons to talking to me.
Hey, you understand grandkids, they're all over you, aren't they?
Oh, they're great. They're great. Happy holidays to all of your listeners.
Oh, yes. And I'm so glad you're coming over, right? You're going to be on Maui?
I can't wait. New Year's Day, I'll be there.
What do you think of the new season change? This is the last time we can say we're starting. Well, you've always said you end the season at Kapalua and the Sony Open, right?
I know, but it's going to be kind of tragic that it's not the first event of the season. I think it held a special attraction. I'm sure they'll try and do whatever they can to maintain it being a very, very special affair. But that's a lot to make up, quite honestly, from, you know, being basically one-fourth of the season almost complete before we get to Maui.
Yeah. Now, Mark Rolfing was on the show a bit earlier. He talked about doing, like, an all-star, have fans voting, Monday Night Football or Saturday or Sunday night, whichever it would be on NBC. Danielle. They would vote. They'd talk about, okay, who do you want to have play at the all-star Tournament of Champions. They would be have the, you know, the Tournament of Champions, the Champions of the Year would be there, in addition to maybe some sponsor exemptions, maybe some of the champions from the year before, kind of beef up the field, plus All-Star.
I like that idea. I mean, Mark always thinks out of the box, and you know, that's going to have to do something. You know, a limited field event when it's kicking off the season is one thing. A limited field event, in, you know, after the season's already started, loses some of its attraction. So I buy into what Mark's saying. Maybe have the fans vote, have some all-stars. I think automatically they should go to winners of the past two seasons. That would, you know, increase the number of players that would participate. Anything to keep the jazz up, because Maui is such a great place, and there's so many golf fans on the mainland that look forward. You know, they're sitting in foot of snow outside, and they can watch Maui and that plantation golf course. And I've seen that no matter how many years I go there, when I stand behind that first tee at that plantation course, I swear it's a Hollywood set, and it's not real. But it certainly is real and certainly is very beautiful.
Yes, I'm seeing it right now. I can't wait. It's going to be just wonderful. Can I talk to you about some of the things going on in the year, you know, wrapping up kind of the season, the last one?
I'd love it.
Let me ask you about your very wonderful compatriot, your co-host of The Grill Room. Alex Maselli was on the show last week to talk about is he really banning the anchor, what does he call it, stop the ban buttons? Have you seen those buttons?
Yeah, he's been drinking too much Kool-Aid or something because, you know, that ban is definitely going to go into effect once the RNA and the USDA decides to make a move that I completely agree with, even though Alex spent a ton of money on some buttons, stop the ban. I'm sure he'll be bringing some to Hawaii. He's had very little luck of anybody wearing them on the mainland. So,
really? Nobody
maybe
wants
to...
Really?
Nobody wants the button. Yeah, put your button away, Alex. I mean, but no, he's got his position. He thinks it should be legal. I don't think it's, a golf stroke, per se, so I'm on the other side of the fence, and we'll have to wait and see. I mean, it's a tricky subject.
It is a tricky subject. It's very polarizing, but it seems like it's a done deal already. I mean, they say it's a proposed ban, but I have a feeling that after the 90 days of comments, they're just going to, and then it's going to go into effect. Unlikely sooner, right? Even though some people think it ought to go into effect right away, why let something that's going to be illegal be legal?
That's a good point, Danielle, and I think it may be expedited. I know some early reports out of the PGA Tour were to the effect that if the ban is put in and set to kick off on January 1st, 2016, that the PGA Tour, from what I heard, with seriously thinking of the minute it becomes illegal, it'll be illegal on the PGA Tour. So, you know, nothing's cast in stone right now, but I know from experience that especially Peter Dawson, the head of the RNA, if he decides something, it's going to be done very, very much like what happens down at Augusta. When those people at Augusta decide that something's going to happen, hey, believe me, it happens.
Swiftly. Swift
with
justice.
Authority.
Yes, and with authority. Speaking of swiftly, one day we hear Tom Watson in Australia saying, you know, I'd be honored to do that captain thing for the Ryder Cup. And what, a week later, he's appointed? Were you surprised?
Well, he knew already when he was making those comments. They've actually been talking to Tom about 13 months about this, and it's definitely a bold move by the PGA of America. The only problem is when you do something like this, if it works, that'll be wonderful because the United States definitely needs the Ryder Cup back. I mean, we've lost 7 of the last 9, and I remember in 1993 being at the Belfry, and if I were to say then, well, this will be the last time that the United States wins on foreign soil until at least 2014, they probably would have had me committed. But, you know, that's exactly what has transpired. And, it's great. You know, let's name Tom Watson the captain. What do you do if it doesn't work? That's the problem. Man, there's no other step out of the box that you can try.
Who would you have chosen? Who was your pick?
Well, sentimentally, I think, Larry Nelson deserves it. Three-time major winner, has been kind of overlooked, and now I think that window's closed on Larry Nelson. So I don't know. You know, that's a good question. David Toms really wanted it. I think he's too much like Davis Love, just real great guys that are friends with everybody on the tour. And one of the early reports I heard from Tom Watson, and Tom's a good friend of mine, and I can't wait when we get together in person to talk about this, but Tom said that there's been too much effort lately to defuse the pressure. He said that's foolish because the pressure is going to be there. So a better approach, instead of trying to make believe it doesn't exist, would be to embrace it. And so that's definitely what he's going to try. The first thing I would do, and I'm going to ask Tom about it, I would ban ping pong tables from being in the team room, because in the media, you know, when you're desperate to have something, all you hear about every day is a 20-minute dissertation on, you know, how they're playing ping pong. So I don't know what he's going to do. It's not supposed to be a fun weekend for the players. They go in there with a mission. If they're playing for their country, and, you know, facts are facts. So Tom Watson, good guy to lay down the law.
He is, and it's a very good point, because you know the European Tour players aren't trying to diffuse the tension. If anything, they're trying to channel that tension and channel it as a team to produce results, which they were very successful doing when we all thought that they were certainly going to lose. And then they came back, which shocked everyone. So what you're saying, and I guess Tom Watson is saying, is why are we going to make these guys relax? We want them to be on edge. We want them to be fighting for their lives. This should be country on the line.
Yeah, very well said, Danielle. And I think that's the approach we're going to have. And Tom is certainly respected by anybody that's ever swung a golf club.
Yeah.
So he'll definitely have the utmost respect. You know, when he serves as a Ryder Cup captain, I thought that, hey, if you're going to go out of the box and you want to make some noise, I would appoint Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer as my assistant captain. and then I'd like to see the players come in that team room and pick up a ping pong paddle.
Okay. Your story of the year. What is your story of the year in your mind? What sums up 2012?
Oh, boy. What sums up 2012?
Yeah.
I think it's my story of the year is Ernie Els winning his fourth major, not because he's winning his fourth major, but it's provided a larger platform for Ernie. He has a son, Ben, that suffers from autism, and there's nothing like a current major winner trying to deliver a message. Under construction down in Florida is a center for learning. It's going to be the best that exists in the entire country, maybe inside the entire world. It's really getting alarming. You know, the statistics now are like 1 in 80 children are born with autism, and there's got to be a reason why this is occurring at such an alarming rate. And so I think my story of the year certainly is Ernie Els, because I think it's going to take a big step in helping find a cure for autism.
God, that was perfect. Thank you so much. Bob Bupka, in about 2 weeks, we will be sitting across from each other, and I'll get to, you know, give you a big hug, and yeah, looking forward to seeing you.
That better be a big hug. I got to fly 3,000 miles to get it.
It will be a big hug, and we'll do the show together on from the Hyundai and from the Sony, and I don't want to think about having to say goodbye. Okay, but I got to say goodbye now because the music has started. They say our time's up.
All right, well, thanks for having me on. And once again, to all of your listeners, a very joyous, happy, healthy holiday season, and hope that 2013 in the world of golf will be one of the best ever.
Thank you, Bob Bupka, voice of golf, and, of course, co-host of the Grill Room on Sirius XM, PGA Tour Radio. I want to thank Heidi from IAA for listening. She's our second qualifier for our trip for two to San Francisco. Thank you to Poipu Bay Golf Course. 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Alakai Mechanical, number one for your air conditioning and plumbing needs. Princeville's Prince Course, magnificent by nature, and $99. Unlimited play at the Prince Course. Hey, come on, Ina, get with it. star protection for property threat and risk assessment. Get the star team on your property. Once that risk has been assessed, you need to get them there to make sure you're taken care of. The Sony Open in Hawaii, this is right here at Wailea Country Club on Oahu. And, of course, the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2012.